whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
It is that time on a Thursday, 8:25. Nate Taylor presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. It's Nate Taylor time, Mr. Nate Taylor. Nasty Nate season, baby. It's playoff time. How you doing, my man?
I am doing excellent, fellas. Good morning to you. And God bless Shawty Mission School District for allowing kids back into the school today.
Oh, yeah. It's a great day, right? You're more excited for kids to go out to school than you are to already have your deadline done.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm going through some edits right now, but it was, you know, he didn't fight it today, Hayden, my 9-year-old boy. Yeah. So he was happy to go back.
Yep.
On the bus with his friends, it's like, yeah, man, it's been like almost a month.
You know, I mean, our kids got out on the 20th of December, Nate, and here's the 9th of January, and now they're going back. I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But no, I'm really excited for the postseason, and you know, this is my favorite time of the year because it is the, you know, the apex moment of the NFL season. And you know, one of the other sports I love the most, tennis, is starting literally in like 2 days with the Australian Open.
Oh, wow. How about that? Go Australia.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it is a bit heart-wrenching when you see just piles and piles and piles of snow around you, and then you turn the TV on and you're like, wow, I need to go to Australia right now.
Go. Nobody's stopping you.
I bet the Cincinnati Bengals would do anything they could to see piles and piles of snow in Kansas City right now, wouldn't you?
Yes. Oh, of course. You know, watching the Hard Knocks on HBO or Max, whatever you want to call it, poor Zach Taylor. I mean, good Lord. They if you haven't watched the episode, ladies and gentlemen, they have Zach Taylor going through his normal routine with the assumption that, hey, maybe the Bengals might get into the playoffs. So this past Sunday, he's in the office pretty much by himself. Maybe there's some other coaches around grinding tape on the Buffalo Bills, believing that the Bengals are going to be the 7th seed to play the 2 seed in Buffalo. And he should have went home after like the first quarter.
No, first quarter, first drive, you know.
he just should have went home. He stayed in the office, ladies and gentlemen, the entire game. Dog, it's 38-0. Go home.
Yeah.
Go home to your wife. Go home to the kids. It's not happening.
There's nothing to prepare for tomorrow.
Nothing.
You know, yes. Go home. You know,
be
a guy who's on break. You know, just forget about it and catch him next year. But
exactly.
I'm just stunned on the idiocy of the national media and their handling of what the Chiefs did, from Chris Russo to Stephen A. Smith to somebody named Don Van Natta to, I mean, RG3. Like, there are some really bad takes out there about what the Chiefs did. And I sit there and go, they put themselves in position to be able to do this by taking care of their business. It's like when you tell their kids to do their chores and they don't do it till the end of the night, well, then there's no dessert. But if you get it done, then you got dessert, you got playtime,
exactly. You
get rewarded for taking care of your ass, man.
That was me last year.
Exactly. It's a great analogy because...
Thank you.
I think what the Chiefs have done, and I'll say the quiet part out loud, with the invention of the internet and it being so popular and us being on it literally quite often all the time, and the excellence of the Chiefs, right, that we've seen this for 5 years now. Obviously, they've won 3 out of the last 5 Super Bowls. They've been in 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls. I think, and obviously, they're, you know, they were 15-1 before their, you know, non-irrelevant game on Sunday. I think when you combine the excellence of the Chiefs and the fact that people are on the internet too much, or they have too much access to get to the internet, it leads to people's brains malfunctioning before us. Like, I shouldn't be able to see your thoughts all the time about anything, but man, like, why do I need RG3 to tell me that this is, unfair? When I thought the goal was get the one seed so that you can rest and get an additional week off. Don Van Nana, calling the what did he call the Bengals? The dreaded Bengals. I'm sorry, they barely beat the Broncos at home in overtime. I mean, right. what are we talking about? And by the way, the Broncos did what they were supposed to do. They won the game that they needed to get into the postseason, regardless of how that happened. So I think the Chiefs, with the help of the internet, has really broken people's brains. Like,
yes.
It's amazing to know that you're upset because we extended the season. You know, we wouldn't have this problem technically if the NFL didn't go to 17 games and obviously an 18-week season. If we were under the old traditional rules back when I grew up in the 90s, well, you wouldn't have this much variance. You wouldn't have a team being able to, start the season as badly as the Bengals did and then obviously win five straight and still not get in. So when you create a longer season, and of course this is going to happen in a couple of years where we go to 18 games in probably 20 weeks with each team getting an additional bye week involved, you're going to have more scenarios kind of like you saw on Sunday where even the Los Angeles Rams, and again, they have been excellent at times. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago with Sean McVay. Hey, man, they didn't care about the 3 seed, the 4 seed, the 5 seed. Who cares? We're in the playoffs. We have already locked up a home playoff game. I'm resting everybody, and nobody talked about it because they're not the Chiefs, because they aren't the most dominant team, over the last 5-year stretch. It's amazing to know that the Bengals, because they are entertaining to watch, because they do have Joe Burrow, get an enormous benefit of the doubt, even though they lost to the Chiefs.
Right. And almost lost to a Pittsburgh team. They were 2-7 against playoff teams this year. It wasn't like they were knocking down the door and beating everybody.
Right.
Look, they had more losses in September than the Chiefs had all season.
Wow. Oh, when you put it like that. And the other thing, too, is, on top of that, it's not like they had like some major injury, right? It wasn't like, man, well, if Joe Burrow had only, not missed those 5 to 6 games, like Tua Tagovailoa, right? At least with Miami, there's an explanation. Like, hey, maybe Miami would have been a playoff team, but it's just unfortunate that Tua got hurt again, and he was in the concussion protocol for multiple weeks, right? Man, you've had these dudes all year.
Yep.
There are no major injuries. It's not our fault that you guys, from a salary cap standpoint, have not been able to sort of reload your defense. So it's Trey Hendrickson and the Pimps, basically. And it's crazy. I watched Hard Knocks last night. It's amazing to watch Trey Hendrickson. He's so good.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you're telling me he led the league in sacks. He had more sacks than Myles Garrett, and they didn't go to the playoffs? But it's just, it's about all 53 guys and what you do for the entire course of the year. And the more we're on the internet, the more we forget about the recent past, yep. Which goes right to your point, Bob, which is, hey, the Chiefs beat the Bengals and the Bengals lost more games than the Chiefs have lost all year. And the Chiefs have no reason to care about this game against the Denver Broncos.
I see what you just done there. Nate Taylor, The Athletic, who joins us now. The Chiefs tried to challenge that they should each team get the ball in overtime when they didn't get it against New England. Didn't pass. Buffalo challenged it when they didn't get it against Chiefs. It passed. Cincinnati, well, if there's an extra week, then they can't lay down and kick us out of the playoffs. Now it'll pass. So they're just Tiger-proofing or Chiefs-proofing the NFL. Got it. Wrote it down in my notes. We're good to go. Speaking of my notes, brutal. Brutal last couple of days, right? The snow, no sports on, right? Like, we're all sports guys. Like, there's just Jerry Springer documentaries, a Chiefsaholic documentary. Like, that's where I've been, man. I've been down bad, dude.
I think all of us have been. It's like post-holiday blues. It's like then snow days, trapped at home, and we're watching garbage again.
And now we get sports back. Penn State, Notre Dame tonight, but I move on to the NFL because I know you're locked into that more than anything other than the school closing bottom bar line. Please be back. Please be back. That's what we've been doing with the NFL. What's the game this weekend that has Nate Taylor's attention?
I'll say it's 2 games, right? I'll give you one in each conference. I love the idea that we have to watch Ravens-Steelers one more time.
I do, too. I think it's great.
I think it's great and terrible all at once, but I think it's great because, hey, man, Mike Tomlin, he going to put something out there that at least is going to make Lamar Jackson have to, like, think or react. You know, the Steelers have nothing to lose. Obviously, the spotlight really is, I think, more on Lamar Jackson than even Josh Allen, considering how last season ended for the Ravens. And on the NFC, as I said earlier, you know, Sean McVay rested everybody. And it's a bit of a quick turnaround. I understand you get the extra day. I know things are terrible in Los Angeles and around Los Angeles with the fires. They're going to, you know, the Vikings are going to go from the emotional roller coaster of, man, we could have had the one seed, we could have had a week off. All of a sudden we're going to LA and we're playing the Rams, and the Rams beat them earlier this season. So it should be a very high scoring game. Mm-hmm. I love the designs of both offenses with, Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell. So I think that'll be probably, you know, since we've had this new format of Super Wild Card Weekend, this might be the most entertaining Monday night game we've ever gotten in this round. This will not be Tom Brady, you know, at the very end against, you know, the Dallas Cowboys when he didn't want to get hit. And this will not be when Kyler Murray got the Cardinals snuck into the playoffs, but then, you know, Aaron Donald basically, like, tortured him for the next 3 hours. I think this game is going to go back and forth. And can you imagine winning, 14 games? Can you imagine winning 14 games, getting bounced out of the first round of the playoffs, and you had the prime year of Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson? Like, all of those guys have played really well, and there's all that's left in their season potentially could be 60 minutes.
All right, I got a couple of more to ask you about when it comes to the NFL. We could talk all day about these playoffs, but we were discussing earlier Sam Darnold, and we had Ben Maller on Fox Sports Radio, and he's like, Sam Darnold could lose himself $80 million if he has a bad game this weekend, right? Let me ask you this. Put yourself in the shoes of a Tennessee Titan fan, okay? Just play that role, okay? And I'm not saying you want to be there, but just play that role for a second, right? They've got the number one overall pick. There's not a quarterback worthy of a number one overall pick in this draft, maybe not even in the top 10. But you have a team that obviously needs a quarterback. If Sam Darnold goes out there and poops the bed against the Rams, coming off the bed pooping performance that he had against the Lions, that's 8 poop bed performance quarters later. Are you excited if your team goes out and acquires Sam Darnold this offseason?
Can Kevin O'Connell come along too? Like, I think that's where my head, I love the scenario, and I think it's very worthy and valid because, you know, there's been a number of quarterbacks in this league that needed some time, some seasoning to really reach their full potential. Now, obviously, I'm not seeing Sam Darnold as these quarterbacks, but for example, like, Rich Gannon needed time before he became a top-tier quarterback. You know, it's hard to believe, but, like, essentially Steve Young spent almost a decade either with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or under, you know, Joe Montana before he got his shot to sort of lead a group, and obviously he was an excellent player. So it's going to take some time for a guy to get to his max, but you do need the coaching, the infrastructure. It obviously helps that you have Justin Jefferson, because he sort of what made last week's game so interesting is Justin Jefferson sort of dictates coverage. Like, hey, like, we know they're going to do something, double you, bracket you, whatever, and that gives me so many more options with some other really good skill position players. What the Lions did was just say, we can't let him dictate coverage. We have to play a lot of man. We have to blitz. We have to, like, speed the quarterback up. So I thought that was a very good coaching sort of adjustment by the Lions and obviously Aaron Glenn. When it comes to Sam Darnold, like, now we know he's capable, but you still have to build an offense around him. You still have to have a coach who has an eye for not just talent, but, like, how to scheme things up and make it simple for you. You know, he's done well with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Now he's done well with KLC. So there's someone else he could obviously get along with and do fine. But, man, I think this season sort of explains that, like, Kevin O'Connell is probably, like, a top 8 coach now versus him kind of being on the rise. I think he's fully established himself. So if I'm a Titans fan, hey, it's better than Will Levis. Like, I appreciate that. We do have, Calvin Ridley. We could give you, obviously, another, you know, good skill position player in the draft. I understand. It's just, I need to know who the coach is, and I'm not sure Mr. Callahan is the best choice in Nashville when they just fired the general manager. And, oh, by the way, the most glamorous, like, coaching candidate out there is the guy we just fired a year ago, Mike Vrabel. It's not a great setup in Tennessee.
No doubt about it, but it's a great setup for us in Kansas City as we get stress-free football this weekend. Nate, you enjoy that, and we will talk to you next Thursday ahead of a big divisional round playoff game, which will be Chiefs and Chargers.
Most likely, yes, most likely. I appreciate it, but you never know. You never know. I mean, come on, Pittsburgh. Hey, come on. You know, I think, like I said this to Cody and Gold, I think it would be great if the Broncos somehow won because the Chiefs would be highly motivated to to see the Broncos one more time this year. So there's better scenarios than the Chargers, but you're probably right. Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert's been in the postseason before. They got a pretty good defense, and I'm not sure I trust the Texans. So, yeah, let's talk Chiefs-Chargers a week from today.
Sounds good, brother. Take care this weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, man.
Take it.